labeled notes sitting on the terminal's desktop. "Start there," he said. "She's a fanatic about putting things in the right folders. If she left that on the desktop, it means she wasn't sure where it went." Naomi tapped on the document to open it up. It expanded into a loosely organized collection of text that read like someone's diary. "First off, get your shit together. Panic doesn't help. It never helps. Deep breaths. Figure this out. Make the right moves. Fear is the mind killer. Ha, geek." Shuttle pros. No reactor, just batteries. Very low radiation. Supplies for 8. Lots of reaction mass. Shuttle cons. No Epstein, no torch. Calm not just disabled, but physically removed. Feeling a little paranoid about leaks, guys? Closest transit is Eros. Is that where we're going? Maybe go someplace else? On just Tea Kettle, this is going to be a slow boat. Another transit adds 7 more weeks. Eros, then. I've got the Phoebe bug. No way around it. Not sure how, but that brown shit was everywhere. It's anaerobic. Must have touched some. Doesn't matter how, just work the problem. I just slept for 3 weeks. Didn't even get up to pee. What does that? I'm so fucked. Things you need to remember. BA-83402-4112. Radiation kills. No reactor on this shuttle, but keep the lights off, keep the E-suit on. Video asset said this thing eats radiation. Don't feed it. Send up a flag. Get some help. You work for the smartest people in the system. They'll figure something out. Stay away from people. Don't spread the bug. Not coughing up the brown goo yet. No idea when that starts. Keep away from bad guys. As if you know who they are. Fine, so keep away from everyone. Incognito is my name. Polanski? Damn. I can feel it. I'm hot all the time and I'm starving. Don't eat. Don't feed it. Feed a cold, starve a flu? Other way around? Eros is a day out, and then help is on the way. Keep fighting. Safe on Eros. Sent up the flag. Hope the Home Office is watching. Head hurts. Something's happening on my back. Lump over my kidneys. Darren turned into goo. Am I going to be a suit full of jelly? Sick now. Things coming out of my back and leaking that brown stuff everywhere. Have to take the suit off. If you read this, don't let anyone touch the brown stuff. Burn me. I'm burning up. Naomi put the terminal down, but no one spoke for a moment. Finally, Holden said, "Phoebe bug. Anyone have an idea?"
"There was a science station on Phoebe," Miller said. "Inner planet's place. No belters allowed. It got hit. Lots of dead people, but..."
"She talks about being on a shuttle," Naomi said. "The Scopuli didn't have a shuttle."
"There had to be another ship," Alex said. "Maybe she got the shuttle off it."
"Right," Holden said. "They got on another ship. They got infected with this Phoebe bug, and the rest of the crew, I don't know, dies?" "She gets out, not realizing she's infected till she's on the shuttle," Naomi continued. "She comes here, she sends up the flag to Fred, and she dies in that hotel room of the infection." "Not, however, turned to goo," Holden said. "Just really badly, I don't know, those tubes and bone spurs. What kind of disease does that?" The question hung in the air. Again, no one spoke. Holden knew they were all thinking the same thing. They hadn't touched anything in the Flophouse room. Did that mean they were safe from it? Or did they have the Phoebe bug, whatever the hell it was? But she'd said anaerobic. Holden was pretty sure that meant you couldn't get it by breathing it in the air. Pretty sure.
Where do we go from here, Jim? Naomi asked.
How about Venus? Holden said, his voice higher and tighter than he'd expected.
Nothing interesting happening on Venus.
Seriously, Naomi said.
Okay. Seriously, I think Miller there lets his cop friend know the story, and then we get the hell off of this rock.
It's got to be a bioweapon, right?
Someone steals it off a Martian science lab, seeds this shit in a dome. A month later, every human being in the city is dead.
Amos interrupted with a grunt.
There's some holes in that, Captain, Amos said. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with taking down the Cant and the Doninger?
Holden looked Naomi in the eye and said,
We have a place to look now, don't we?
Yeah, we do, she said.
BA83402412.
That's a rock designation.
What do you think is out there?
Alex asked.
If I was a betting man, I'd say it's whatever ship she stole that shuttle from, Holden replied.
Makes sense, Naomi said. Every rock in the belt is mapped. You want to hide something? Put it in a stable orbit next to one, and you can always find it later.
Miller turned toward Holden, his face even more drawn.
If you're going there, I want in, he said.
Why? Holden asked.
No offense, but you found your girl.
Your job's over, right?
Miller looked at him, his lips a thin line.
Different case, Miller said. Now, it's about who killed her.
Chapter 26. Miller.
Your police friend put a lockdown order on my ship, Holden said. He sounded outraged. Around them, the hotel restaurant was busy. Last shift's prostitutes mixed with the next shift's tourists and businessmen at the cheap, pink-lit buffet. The pilot and the big guy, Alex and Amos, were vying for the last bagel. Naomi sat at Holden's side, her arms crossed, a cup of bad coffee cooling before her.
We did kill some people, Miller said gently.
I thought you got us out of that with your secret police handshake, Holden said. So why's my ship in lockdown?
You remember when Simitimba said we shouldn't leave the station without telling him? Miller said.
I remember you making some kind of deal, Holden said. I don't remember agreeing to it.
Look, he's going to keep us here until he's sure he won't get fired for letting us go. Once he knows his ass is covered, the lock goes down. So, let's talk about the part where I rent a berth on your ship.
Jim Holden and his XO exchanged a glance, one of those tiny human burst communications that said more than words could have. Miller didn't know either of them well enough to decode all of it, but he guessed they were skeptical. They had reason to be. Miller had checked his credit balance before he called them. He had enough left for another night in the hotel, or a good dinner, but not both. He was spending it on a cheap breakfast that Holden and his crew didn't need and probably wouldn't enjoy, buying goodwill.
I need to make very, very sure I understand what you're saying, Holden said as the big one, Amos, returned and sat at his other side holding the bagel. Are you saying that unless I let you on my ship, your friend is going to keep us here? Because that's blackmail.
Extortion, Amos said.
What? Holden said.
It's not blackmail, Naomi said. That would be if he threatened to expose information we didn't want known. If it's just a threat, that's extortion.
And it's not what I'm talking about, Miller said. Freedom of the station while the investigation rolls, that's no trouble. Leaving jurisdiction's another thing. I can't hold you here any more than I can cut you loose. I'm just looking for a ride when you go.
Why? Holden said. Because you're going to Julie's asteroid, Miller said.
I'm willing to bet there's no port there, Holden said. Did you plan on going anyplace after that?
I'm kind of low on solid plans. Haven't had one yet that actually happened.
I hear that, Amos said. We've been fucked 18 different ways since we got into this.
Holden folded his hands on the table, one finger tapping a complicated rhythm on the wood-textured concrete top. It wasn't a good sign.
You seem like a, well, like an angry, bitter old man, actually.
But I've been working water haulers for the past 5 years. That just means you'd fit in.
But, Miller said and let the word hang there,
but I've been shot at a lot recently. And the machine guns yesterday were the least lethal thing I've had to deal with, Holden said. I'm not letting anyone on my ship that I wouldn't trust with my life, and I don't actually know you.
I can get the money, Miller said, his belly sinking. If it's money, I can cover it.
It's not about negotiating a price, Holden said.
Get the money? Naomi said, her eyes narrowing. Get the money? As in, you don't have it now?
I'm a little short, Miller said. It's temporary.
You have an income? Naomi said.
More like a strategy, Miller said. There's some independent rackets down on the docks. There always are in any port. Side games, fights, things like that. Most of them, the fix is in. It's how you bribe cops without actually bribing cops.
That's your plan? Holden said, incredulity in his voice.
Go collect some police bribes?
Across the restaurant, a prostitute in a red nightgown yawned prodigiously. The jawn across the table from her frowned.
No, Miller said reluctantly. I play the side bets. A cop goes in, I make a side bet that he's going to win. I know who the cops are, mostly. The house, they know because they're bribing them. The side bets are with Fish looking to feel edgy because they're playing unlicensed.
Even as he said it, Miller knew how weak it sounded.
Alex, the pilot, came and sat beside Miller. His coffee smelled bright and acidic.
What's the deal?
Alex asked.
There isn't one, Holden said.
There wasn't one before, and there still isn't.
It works better than you think, Miller said gamely, and four hand terminals chimed at once.
Holden and Naomi exchanged another, less complicit glance and pulled up their terminals. Amos and Alex already had theirs up. Miller caught the red and green border that meant either a priority message or an early Christmas card. There was a moment's silence as they all read something. Then Amos whistled low.
Stage 3, Naomi said.
Can't say as I like the sound of that, Alex said.
You mind if I ask? Miller said.
Holden slid his terminal across the table. The message was plain text, encoded from Tycho. Caught mole in Tycho comm station. Your presence and destination leaked to unknown persons on Eros. Be careful.
Little late on that, Miller said.
Keep reading, Holden said. Mole's encryption code allowed intercept of subsignal broadcast from Eros 5 hours ago. Intercepted message follows. Holden escaped, but payload sample recovered. Repeat, sample recovered. Proceeding to stage 3.
Any idea what that means? Holden asked.
I don't, Miller said, pushing the terminal back. Except if the payload sample is Julie's body.
Which I think we can assume it is, Holden said.
Miller tapped his fingertips on the tabletop, unconsciously copying Holden's rhythm, his mind working through the combinations.
This thing, Miller said, the bioweapon or whatever. They were shipping it here. So now it's here. Okay. There's no reason to take out Eros. It's not particularly important to the war when you hold it up to Ceres or Ganymede or the shipyard at Callisto.
And if you wanted it dead, there are easier ways. Blow a big fusion bomb on the surface and crack it like an egg. It's not a military base, but it is a shipping hub, Naomi said. And unlike Ceres, it's not under OPA control.
They're shipping her out then, Holden said.
They're taking their sample out to infect whatever their original target was, and once they're off the station, there's no way we're going to stop it.
Miller shook his head.
Something about the chain of logic felt wrong. He was missing something. His imaginary Julie appeared across the room, but her eyes were dark, black filaments pouring down her cheeks like tears.
What am I looking at here, Julie? He thought. I'm seeing something here, but I don't know what it is.
The vibration was a slight, small thing, less than a transport tube's breaking stutter. A few plates rattled. The coffee in Naomi's cup danced in a series of concentric circles. Everyone in the hotel went silent, with a sudden shared dread of thousands of people made aware of their fragility in the same moment.
Okay, Amos said. The fuck was that?
And the emergency klaxons started blaring.
Or possibly stage three is something else, Miller said over the noise.
The public address system was muddy by its nature. The same voice spoke from consoles and speakers that might have been as close as a meter from each other, or as far out as earshot would take them. It made every word reverberate, a false echo. Because of that, the voice of the emergency broadcast system enunciated very carefully, each word bitten off separately. Attention, please. Eros Station is in emergency lockdown. Proceed immediately to the casino level for radiological safety confinement. Cooperate with all emergency personnel. Attention, please. Eros Station is in emergency lockdown. And on in a loop that would continue if no one coded in the override until every man, woman, child, animal, and insect on the station had been reduced to dust and humidity. It was the nightmare scenario, and Miller did what a lifetime on pressurized rocks had trained him to do. He was up from the table, in the corridor, and heading down toward the wider passages already clogged with bodies. Holden and his crew were on his heels.
That was an explosion, Alex said. Ship drive at the least, maybe a nuke.
They're going to kill the station, Holden said. There was a kind of awe in his voice. I never thought I'd miss the part where they just blew up the ships I was on, but now it's stations.
They didn't crack it, Miller said.
You sure of that? Naomi asked.
I can hear you talking, Miller said. That tells me there's air.
There are airlocks, Holden said. If the station got hold and the locks closed down... A woman pushed hard against Miller's shoulder, forcing her way forward. If they weren't damn careful, there was going to be a stampede. There was too much fear, and not enough space. It hadn't happened yet, but the impatient movement of the crowd, vibrating like molecules in water just shy of boiling, made Miller very uncomfortable.
This isn't a ship, Miller said. It's a station. This is a rock we're on. Anything big enough to get the parts of the station with atmosphere would crack the place like an egg. A great big pressurized egg.
The crowd was stopped, the tunnel full. They were going to need crowd control, and they were going to need it fast. For the first time since he'd left Ceres, Miller wished he had a badge. Someone pushed into Amos's side, then backed away through the press when the big guy growled.
Besides, Miller said, it's a rad hazard. You don't need air loss to kill everyone in the station. Just burn a few quadrillion spare neutrons through the place at sea, and there won't be any trouble with the oxygen supply.
Cheerful fucker, Amos said. They build stations inside of rocks for a reason, Naomi said. Not so easy to force radiation through this many meters of rock.
I spent a month in a rad shelter once, Alex said as they pushed through the thickening crowd. Ship I was on had magnetic containment drop.
Automatic cutoffs failed, and the reactor kept running for almost a second. Melted the engine room. Killed 5 of the crew on the next deck up before they knew we had a problem. And it took them 3 days to carve the bodies free of the melted decking for burial. The rest of us wound up 18 to a shelter for 36 days while a tug flew to get us.
Sounds great, Holden said.
End of it? 6 of them got married and the rest of us never spoke to each other again, Alex said. Ahead of them, someone shouted. It wasn't an alarm or even anger, really. Frustration. Fear. Exactly the things Miller didn't want to hear.
That may be our big problem, Miller said.
But before he could explain, a new voice cut in, drowning out the emergency response loop.
Okay, everybody, we're Eero Security, que no? We got an emergency, so you do what we tell you and nobody gets hurt.
About time, Miller thought.
So here's the rule, the new voice said. Next asshole who pushes anyone, I'm going to shoot them. Move in an orderly fashion. First priority, orderly. Second priority is move. Go, go, go.
At first, nothing happened. The knot of human bodies was tied too tightly for even the most heavy-handed crowd control to free quickly. But a minute later, Miller saw some heads far ahead of him in the tunnel start to shift, then move away. The air in the tunnel was thickening, and the hot plastic smell of overloaded recyclers reached him just as the clot came free. Miller's breath started coming easier.
"Do they have hard shelters?" A woman behind them asked her companion, and then was swept away by the currents. Naomi plucked Miller's sleeve.
"Do they?" she asked.
"They should, yes," Miller said. "Enough for maybe a 250,000, and essential personnel and medical crews who get first crack at them."
"And everyone else?" Amos said.
"If they survive the event," Holden said, "station personnel will save as many people as they can."
"Ah," Amos said. Then, "Well, fuck that. We're going for the Rossi, right?"
"Oh, hell yes," Holden said. Ahead of them, the fast shuffling crowd in their tunnel was merging with another flow of people from a lower level. 5 thick-necked men in riot gear were waving people on. 2 of them were pointing guns at the crowd. Miller was more than half tempted to go up and slap the little idiots. Pointing guns at people was a lousy way to avoid panic. One of the security men was also far too wide for his gear, the Velcro fasteners at his belly reaching out for each other like lovers at the moment of separation. Miller looked down at the floor and slowed his steps, the back of his mind suddenly and powerfully busy. One of the cops swung his gun out over the crowd. Another one, the fat guy, laughed and said something in Korean.
What had Semitimba said about the new security force? All bluster, no balls?
A new corporation out of Luna. Belters on the ground. Corrupt. The name. They had a name. CPM. Carne para la máquina. Meat for the machine. One of the gun-wielding cops lowered his weapon, swept off his helmet, and scratched violently behind one ear. He had wild black hair, a tattooed neck, and a scar that went from one eyelid down almost to the joint of his jaw. Miller knew him. A year and a half ago, he had arrested him for assault and racketeering. And the equipment, armor, batons, riot guns, also looked hauntingly familiar. Dawes had been wrong. Miller had been able to find his own missing equipment after all. Whatever this was, it had been going on a long time before the Canterbury had picked up a distress call from the Scopuli. A long time before Julie had vanished. And putting a bunch of Ceres station thugs in charge of Eero's crowd control using stolen Ceres station equipment had been part of the plan. The third phase.
Ah, he thought. Well, that can't be good.
Miller slid to the side, letting as many bodies as he plausibly could fill the space between him and the gunman dressed as police.
"Get down to the casino level," one of the gunmen shouted over the crowd.
We'll get you into the radiation shelters from there, but you've got to get to the casino level.
Holden and his crew hadn't noticed anything odd. They were talking among themselves, strategizing about how to get to their ship and what to do once they got there, speculating about who might have attacked the station and where Julie Mao's twisted, infected corpse might be headed. Miller fought the impulse to interrupt them. He needed to stay calm, to think things through. They couldn't attract attention. He needed the right moment. The corridor turned and widened. The press of bodies lightened a little bit. Miller waited for a dead zone in the crowd control, a space where none of the fake security men could see them. He took Holden by the elbow.
"Don't go," he said.
Chapter 27. Holden. "What do you mean, don't go?" Holden asked, yanking his elbow out of Miller's grasp. "Somebody just nuked the station. This has escalated beyond our capacity to respond. If we can't get to the Rossi, we're doing whatever they tell us to until we can." Miller took a step back and put up his hands. He was clearly doing his best to look non-threatening, which just pissed Holden off even more. Behind him, the riot cops were motioning the people milling in the corridors toward the casinos. The air echoed with the electronically amplified voices of the police directing the crowds and the buzz of anxious citizens. Over it all, the public address system told everyone to remain calm and cooperate with emergency personnel. "See that bruiser over there in the police riot gear?" Miller said. "His name is Gabby Smalls. He supervises a chunk of the Golden Bough protection racket on Ceres. He also runs a little dust on the side, and I suspect he's tossed more than a few people out airlocks." Holden looked at the guy, wide shoulders, thick gut. Now that Miller pointed him out, there was something about him that didn't seem right for a cop. "I don't get it," Holden said. "A couple months ago, when you started a bunch of riots by saying Mars blew up your water hauler, we found out—" "I never said found out that most of the police riot gear on Ceres was missing. A few months before that, a bunch of our underworld muscle went missing. I just found out where both of them are." Miller pointed at the riot gear-equipped Gabby Smalls. "I wouldn't go wherever he's sending people," he said. "I really wouldn't." A thin stream of people bumped past. "Then where?" Naomi asked.
"Yeah, I mean, if the choice is radiation or mobsters, I gotta go with the mobsters," Alex said, nodding emphatically at Naomi.
Miller pulled out his hand terminal and held it up so everyone could see the screen. "I've got no radiation warnings," he said. "Whatever happened outside isn't a danger on this level. Not right now. So let's just calm down and make the smart move." Holden turned his back on Miller and motioned to Naomi. He pulled her aside and said in a quiet voice, "I still think we go back to the ship and get out of here. Take our chances getting past these mobsters." "If there's no radiation danger, then I agree," she said with a nod. "I disagree," Miller said, not even pretending he hadn't been eavesdropping. "To do that, we have to walk through three levels of casino filled with riot gear and thugs. They're going to tell us to get in one of those casinos for our own protection. When we don't, they'll beat us unconscious and throw us in anyway. For our own protection." Another crowd of people poured out of a branch corridor, heading for the reassuring presence of the police and the bright casino lights. Holden found it difficult not to be swept along with the crowd. A man with two enormous suitcases bumped into Naomi, almost knocking her down. Holden grabbed her hand. "What's the alternative?" he asked Miller. Miller glanced up and down the corridor, seeming to measure the flow of people. He nodded at a yellow and black striped hatch down a small maintenance corridor. "That one," he said. "It's marked high voltage, so the guys sweeping for stragglers won't bother with it. It's not the kind of place citizens hide." "Can you get that door open quickly?" Holden said, looking at Amos.
"Can I break it? If you need to?"
"Then sure," Amos said, and began pushing his way through the crowd toward the maintenance hatch.
At the door, he pulled out his multi-tool and popped off the cheap plastic housing for the card reader. After he twisted a couple of wires together, the hatch slid open with a hydraulic hiss.
"Ta-da!" Amos said. "The reader won't work anymore, so anyone who wants in comes in."
"Let's worry about that if it happens," Miller replied, then led them into the dimly lit passageway beyond. The service corridor was filled with electrical cable held together with plastic ties. It stretched through the dim red light for 30 or 40 feet before falling into gloom. The light came from LEDs mounted on the metal bracing that sprouted from the wall every 5 feet or so to hold the cable up. Naomi had to duck to enter, her frame about 4 centimeters too tall for the ceiling. She put her back to the wall and slid down onto her haunches.
"You'd think they'd make the maintenance corridors tall enough for belters to work in," she said irritably.
Holden touched the wall almost reverently, tracing a corridor identification number carved right into the stone.
"The belters who built this place weren't tall," he said. "These are some of the main power lines. This tunnel goes back to the first belt colony. The people who carved it grew up in gravity."
Miller, who also had to duck his head, sat on the floor with a grunt and popping knees.
"History lesson later," he said. "Let's figure a way off this rock."
Amos, studying the bundles of cable intently, said over his shoulder, "If you see a frayed spot, don't touch it. This thick fucker right here is a couple million volts. That'd melt your shit down real good."
Alex sat down next to Naomi, grimacing when his butt hit the cold stone floor.
"You know," he said, "if they decide to seal up the station, they might pump all the air out of these maintenance corridors."
"I get it," Holden said loudly. "It's a shitty and uncomfortable hiding spot. You have my permission to now shut up about that."
He squatted down across the corridor from Miller and said, "Okay, detective, now what?"
"Now," Miller said, "we wait for the sweep to pass us by and get behind it. Try to get to the docks. The folks in the shelters are easy to avoid. Shelters are up deep. Trick's going to be getting through the casino levels."
"Can't we just use these maintenance passages to move around?" Alex asked.
Amos shook his head.
"Not without a map, we won't. You get lost in here, you're in trouble," he said.
Ignoring them, Holden said, "Okay, so we wait for everyone to move to the radiation shelters, and then we leave." Miller nodded at him, and then the two men sat staring at each other for a moment. The air between them seemed to thicken, the silence taking on a meaning of its own. Miller shrugged like his jacket itched.
"Why do you think a bunch of Ceres mobsters are moving everyone to radiation shelters when there's no actual radiation danger?" Holden finally said. "And why are the Eros cops letting them?"
"Good questions," Miller said.
"If they were using these yahoos, it helps explain why their attempted kidnapping at the hotel went so poorly. They don't seem like pros."
"Nope," Miller said.
"That's not their usual area of expertise."
"Would you two be quiet?" Naomi said. For almost a minute they were.
"It'd be really stupid," Holden said, "to go take a look at what's going on, wouldn't it?"
"Yes. Whatever's going on at those shelters, you know that's where all the guards and patrols will be," Miller said.
"Yeah," Holden said.
"Captain," Naomi said, a warning in her voice.
"Still," Holden said, talking to Miller, "you hate a mystery."
"I do at that,"
Miller replied with a nod and a faint smile.
"And you, my friend, are a damn busybody."
"It's been said."
"God damn it," Naomi said quietly.
"What is it, boss?" Amos asked.
"These two just broke our getaway plan," Naomi replied. Then she said to Holden, "You guys are going to be very bad for each other and, by extension, us."
"No," Holden replied. "You aren't coming along. You stay here with Amos and Alex. Give us," he looked at his terminal, "3 hours to go look and come back. If we aren't here, we leave you to the gangsters and the three of us get jobs on Tycho and live happily ever after," Naomi said.
"Yeah,"
Holden said with a grin. Don't be a hero. Wouldn't even consider it, sir. Holden crouched in the shadows outside the maintenance hatch and watched as Ceres mobsters dressed in police riot gear led the citizens of Eros away in small groups. The PA system continued to declare the possibility of radiological danger and exhorted the citizens and guests of Eros to cooperate fully with emergency personnel. Holden had selected a group to follow and was getting ready to move when Miller placed a hand on his shoulder. Wait, Miller said. I want to make a call. He quickly dialed up a number on his hand terminal, and after a few moments, a flat, gray, network not available message appeared. Phone is down? Holden asked. That's the first thing I'd do, too, Miller replied. I see, Holden said, even though he really didn't. Well, I guess it's just you and me, Miller said, then took the magazine out of his gun and began reloading it with cartridges he pulled out of his coat pocket. Even though he'd had enough of gunfights to last him the rest of his life, Holden took out his gun and checked the magazine as well. He'd replaced it after the shootout in the hotel, and it was full. He racked it and put it back in the waistband of his pants. Miller, he noticed, kept his out, holding it close to his thigh where his coat mostly covered it. It wasn't difficult following the groups up through the station toward the intersections where the radiation shelters were. As long as they kept moving in the same direction as the crowds, no one gave them a second look. Holden made a mental note of the many corridor intersections where men in riot gear stood guard. It would be much tougher coming back down. When the group they were following eventually stopped outside a large metal door marked with the ancient radiation symbol, Holden and Miller slipped off to the side and hid behind a large planter filled with ferns and a couple of stunted trees. Holden watched the fake riot cops order everyone into the shelter, and then seal the door behind them with a swipe of a card. All but one of them left, the remaining one standing guard outside the door. Miller whispered, "Let's ask him to let us in." "Follow my lead," Holden replied, then stood up and began walking toward the guard. "Hey, shithead, you're supposed to be in a shelter or in the casino, so get the fuck back to your group," the guard said, his hand on the butt of his gun. Holden held up his hands placatingly, smiled, and kept walking. "Hey, I lost my group. Got mixed up somehow. I'm not from here, you know," he said. The guard pointed down the corridor with the stun baton in his left hand. "Go that way till you hit the ramps down," he said. Miller seemed to appear out of nowhere in the dimly lit corridor, his gun already out and pointed at the guard's head. He thumbed off the safety with an audible click. "How about we just join the group already inside?" he said. "Open it up." The guard looked at Miller out of the corners of his eyes, not turning his head at all. His hands went up, and he dropped the baton. "You don't want to do that, man," the fake cop said. "I kind of think he does," Holden said. "You should do what he says. He's not a very nice person." Miller pushed the barrel of his gun against the guard's head and said, "You know what we used to call a no-brainer back at the station house? It's when a shot to the head actually blows the entire brain out of someone's skull. It usually happens when a gun is pressed to the victim's head right about here. The gas has got nowhere to go. Pops the brain right out through the exit wound." "They said not to open these up once they've been sealed, man," the guard said, speaking so fast he ran all the words together. "They were pretty serious about that." "This is the last time I ask," Miller said. "Next time, I just use the card I took off your body." Holden turned the guard around to face the door and pulled the handgun out of the man's belt holster. He hoped all Miller's threats were just threats. He suspected they weren't. "Just open the door and we'll let you go, I promise," Holden said to the guard. The guard nodded and moved up to the door, then slid his card through it and punched in a number on the keypad. The heavy blast door slid open. Beyond it, the room was even darker than the corridor outside. A few emergency LEDs glowed a sullen red. In the faint illumination, Holden could see dozens, hundreds of bodies scattered across the floor, unmoving.
"Are they dead?" Holden asked.
"I don't know nothing about," the guard said, but Miller cut him off.
"You go in first," Miller said, and pushed the guard forward.
"Hold on," Holden said. "I don't think it's a good idea to just charge in here." Three things happened at once. The guard took four steps forward and then collapsed on the floor. Miller sneezed once, loudly, and then started to sway drunkenly, and both Holden's and Miller's hand terminals began an angry electric buzzing. Miller staggered back and said, "The door." Holden hit the button and the door slid shut again.
"Gas," Miller said, then coughed. "There's gas in there."
While the ex-cop leaned against the corridor wall and coughed, Holden took out his terminal to shut off the buzzing. But the alarm flashing on its screen wasn't an air contamination alert. It was the venerable three wedge shapes pointing inward. Radiation. As he watched, the symbol, which should have been white, shifted through an angry orange color to dark red. Miller was looking at his, too, his expression unreadable.
"We've been dosed," Holden said. "I've never actually seen the detector activate," Miller said, his voice rough and faint after his coughing fit. "What does it mean when the thing is red?"
"It means we'll be bleeding from our rectums in about 6 hours," Holden said. "We have to get to the ship. It'll have the meds we need."
"What?" Miller said. "The fuck is going on?"
Holden grabbed Miller by the arm and led him back down the corridor toward the ramps. Holden's skin felt warm and itchy. He didn't know if it was radiation burn or psychosomatic. With the amount of radiation he'd just taken, it was a good thing he had sperm tucked away in Montana and on Europa. Thinking that made his balls itch.
"They nuke the station," Holden said. "Hell, maybe they just pretend to nuke it. Then they drag everyone down here and toss them into radiation shelters that are only radioactive on the inside. Gas them to keep them quiet."
"There are easier ways to kill people," Miller said, his breathing coming in ragged gasps as they ran down the corridor.
"So it has to be more than that," Holden said. "The bug, right? The one that killed that girl. It fed on radiation."
"Incubators," Miller said, nodding in agreement.
They arrived at one of the ramps to the lower levels, but a group of citizens led by two fake riot cops were coming up. Holden grabbed Miller and pulled him to one side where they could hide in the shadow of a closed noodle shop.
"So they infected them, right?" Holden said in a whisper, waiting for the group to pass.
"Maybe fake radiation meds with a bug in it. Maybe that brown goo just spread around on the floor. Then whatever was in the girl, Julie..."
He stopped when Miller walked away from him, straight at the group that had just come up the ramp.
"Officer," said Miller to one of the fake cops.
They both stopped, and one of them said, "You're supposed to be..." Miller shot him in the throat, right below his helmet's faceplate. Then he swiveled smoothly and shot the other guard in the inside of the thigh, just below the groin. When the man fell backward, yelling in pain, Miller walked up and shot him again, this time in the neck. A couple of the citizens started screaming. Miller pointed his gun at them and they got quiet.
"Go down a level or two and find some place to hide," he said. "Do not cooperate with these men, even though they're dressed like police. They do not have your best interests at heart. Go."
The citizens hesitated, then ran. Miller took a few cartridges out of his pocket and began replacing the three he'd fired. Holden started to speak, but Miller cut him off.
"Take the throat shot if you can. Most people, the faceplate and chest armor don't quite cover that gap. If the neck is covered, then shoot the inside of the thigh. Very thin armor there. Mobility issue. Takes most people down in one shot."
Holden nodded, as though that all made sense.
"Okay," Holden said.
Say, let's get back to the ship before we bleed to death, right? No more shooting people if we can help it. His voice sounded calmer than he felt. Miller slapped the magazine back into his gun and chambered around. I'm guessing there's a lot more people need to be shot before this is over, he said. But sure. First things first. Chapter 28 Miller. The first time Miller killed anyone was in his third year working security. He'd been 22, just married, talking about having kids. As the new guy on the contract, he'd gotten the shit jobs. Patrolling levels so high the Coriolis made him seasick, taking domestic disturbance calls in holes no wider than a storage bin, standing guard on the drunk tank to keep predators from raping the unconscious. The normal hazing. He'd known to expect it. He'd thought he could take it. The call had been from an illegal restaurant almost at the mass center. At less than a tenth of a G, gravity had been little more than a suggestion, and his inner ear had been confused and angered by the change in spin. If he thought about it, he could still remember the sound of raised voices, too fast and slurred for words, the smell of bathtub cheese, the thin haze of smoke from the cheap electric griddle. It had happened fast. The perp had come out of the hole with a gun in one hand, dragging a woman by the hair with the other. Miller's partner, a 10-year veteran named Carson, had shouted out the warning. The perp had turned, swinging the gun out at arm's length like a stuntman in a video. All through training, the instructors had said that you couldn't know what you'd do until the moment came. Killing another human being was hard. Some people couldn't. The perp's gun came around. The gunman dropped the woman and shouted. It turned out that, for Miller at least, it wasn't all that hard. Afterward, he'd been through mandatory counseling. He'd cried. He'd suffered the nightmares and the shakes and all the things that cops suffered quietly and didn't talk about. But even then, it seemed to be happening at a distance. Like he'd gotten too drunk and was watching himself throw up. It was just a physical reaction. It would pass. The important thing was he knew the answer to the question. Yes, if he needed to, he could take a life. It wasn't until now, walking through the corridors of Eros, that he'd taken joy in it. Even taking down the poor bastard in that first firefight had felt like the sad necessity of work. Pleasure in killing hadn't come until after Julie. And it wasn't really pleasure as much as a brief cessation of pain. He held the gun low. Holden started down the ramp and Miller followed, letting the earther take point. Holden walked faster than he did and with the uncommented athleticism of someone who lived in a wide variety of gravities. Miller had the feeling he'd made Holden nervous, and he regretted that a little. He hadn't intended to, and he really needed to get aboard Holden's ship if he was going to find Julie's secrets. Or, for that matter, not die of radiation sickness in the next few hours. That seemed a finer point than it probably was. Okay, Holden said at the bottom of the ramp. We need to get back down, and there are a lot of guards between us and Naomi that are going to be really confused by two guys walking the wrong direction.
That's a problem, Miller agreed.
Any thoughts? Miller frowned and considered the flooring. The Eros floors were different than Ceres's, laminate with flecks of gold.
Tubes aren't going to be running, he said. If they are, it'll be in lockdown mode, where it only stops at the holding pen down in the casino. So that's out.
Maintenance corridor again?
If we can find one that goes between levels, Miller said. Might be a little tricky, but it seems like a better shot than shooting our way past a couple dozen assholes in armor. How long have we got before your friend takes off?
Holden looked at his hand terminal. The radiation alarm was still deep red. Miller wondered how long those took to reset. A little more than 2 hours, Holden said. Shouldn't be a problem.
Let's see what we can find, Miller said.
The corridors nearest the radiation shelters, the death traps, the incubators, had been emptied. Wide passages built to accommodate the ancient construction equipment that had carved Eros into a human habitation were eerie with only Holden's and Miller's footsteps and the hum of the air recyclers. Miller hadn't noticed when the emergency announcements had stopped, but the absence of them now seemed ominous. If it had been Ceres, he would have known where to go, where everything led, how to move gracefully from one stage to another. On Eros, all he had was an educated guess. That wasn't so bad. But he could tell it was taking too long, and worse than that, they weren't talking about it. Neither one spoke. They were walking more slowly than normal. It wasn't up to the threshold of consciousness, but Miller knew that both of their bodies were starting to feel the radiation damage. It wasn't going to get better. Okay, Holden said. Somewhere around here there has to be a maintenance shaft.
Could also try the tube station, Miller said. The cars run in vacuum, but there might be some service tunnels running parallel.
Don't you think they'd have shut those down as part of the big roundup?
Probably, Miller said.
Hey, you two! What the fuck you think you're doing up here? Miller looked back over his shoulder. Two men in riot gear were waving at them menacingly. Holden said something sharp under his breath. Miller narrowed his eyes. The thing was, these men were amateurs. The beginning of an idea moved in the back of Miller's mind as he watched the two approach. Killing them and taking their gear wouldn't work. There was nothing like scorch marks and blood to make it clear something had happened. But... Miller, Holden said, a warning in his voice.
Yeah, Miller said, I know.
I said, what the fuck are you two doing here?
One of the security men said.
The station's on lockdown. Everyone goes down to the casino level or up to the radiation shelters.
We were just looking for a way to, get down to the casino level, Holden said, smiling and being non-threatening.
We're not from around here, and...
The closer of the two guards jabbed the butt of his rifle neatly into Holden's leg. The earther staggered, and Miller shot the guard just below the faceplate, then turned to the one still standing, mouth agape.
You're Mikey Coe, right? Miller said.
The man's face went even paler, but he nodded. Holden groaned and stood.
Detective Miller, Miller said. Busted you on Ceres about 4 years ago. You got a little happy in a bar. Tappan's, I think. Hit a girl with a pool cue?
Oh, hey, the man said with a frightened smile. Yeah, I remember you. How you been doing?
Good and bad, Miller said. You know how it is. Give the earther your gun.
Coe looked from Miller to Holden and back, licking his lips and judging his chances. Miller shook his head.
Seriously, Miller said. Give him the gun.
Sure, yeah, no problem.
This was the kind of man who'd killed Julie, Miller thought. Stupid, short-sighted. A man born with a sense for raw opportunity where his soul should have been.
Miller's mental Julie shook her head in disgust and sorrow, and Miller found himself wondering if she meant the thug now handing his rifle to Holden, or himself. Maybe both.
What's the deal here, Mikey? Miller asked.
What do you mean? The guard said, playing stupid like they were in an interrogation cell, stalling for time. Walking through the old script of cop and criminal as if it still made sense. As if everything hadn't changed. Miller was surprised by a tightness in his throat. He didn't know what it was there for.
The job, he said.
What's the job?
I don't know.
Hey, Miller said gently. I just killed your buddy.
And that's his third today, Holden said. I saw him.
Miller could see it in the man's eyes. The cunning, the shift, the move from one strategy to another. It was old and familiar and as predictable as water moving down.
Hey, Coe said, it's just a job.
They told us about a year ago how we were making a big move, right? But no one knows what it is. So, a few months back, they start moving guys over. Training us up like we're cops, you know?
Who was training you? Miller said.
The last guys. The ones who were working the contract before us.
Co said. Protogen?
Something like that, yeah, he said. Then they took off and we took over. Just muscle, you know, some smuggling.
Smuggling what?
All kinds of shit, Co said. He was starting to feel safe, and it showed in the way he held himself and the way he spoke. Surveillance equipment, communication arrays, Sirius's-fuck servers with their own little gel software wonks already built in. Scientific equipment, too. Stuff for checking the water and the air and shit. And these ancient remote-access robots like you'd use in a vacuum dig. All sorts of shit.
Where was it going to? Holden asked.
Here, Co said, gesturing to the air, the stone, the station. It's all here. They were like months installing it all. And then for weeks, nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? Miller asked.
Nothing, nothing. All this build-up, and then we sat around with our thumbs up our butts.
Something had gone wrong. The Phoebe bug hadn't made its rendezvous, but then Julie had come, Miller thought, and the game had turned back on. He saw her again as if he were in her apartment. The long, spreading tendrils of whatever the hell it was, the bone spurs pressing out against her skin, the black froth of filament pouring from her eyes.
The pay's good, though, Co said philosophically. And it was kind of nice taking some time off.
Miller nodded in agreement, leaned close, tucking the barrel of his gun through the interleaving of armor at Co's belly, and shot him.
What the fuck? Holden said as Miller put his gun into his jacket pocket.
What did you think was going to happen? Miller said, squatting down beside the gut-shot man.
It's not like he was going to let us go.
Yeah, okay, Holden said, but...
Help me get him up, Miller said, hooking an arm behind Co's shoulder.
Co shrieked when Miller lifted him.
What?
Get his other side, Miller said. Man needs medical attention, right?
Yes, Holden said.
So, get his other side.
It wasn't as far back to the radiation shelters as Miller had expected, which had its good points and its bad ones. On the upside, Co was still alive and screaming. The chances were better that he'd be lucid, which wasn't what Miller had intended. But as they came near the first group of guards, Co's babbling seemed scattered enough to work.
Hey! Miller shouted. Some help over here!
At the head of the ramp, four of the guards looked at one another and then started moving toward them, curiosity winning out over basic operating procedures. Holden was breathing hard. Miller was, too. Co wasn't that heavy. It was a bad sign.
What the hell is this? One of the guards said.
There's a bunch of people holed up back there, Miller said. Resistance. I thought you people swept this level.
That wasn't our job, the guy said. We were just making sure the groups from the casino get to the shelters.
Well, someone screwed up, Miller snapped. You have transport?
The guards looked at each other again.
We can call for one, a guy at the back said.
Never mind, Miller said. You boys go find the shooters.
Wait a minute, the first guy said.
Exactly who the hell are you?
The installers from Protogen, Holden said. We're replacing the sensors that failed. This guy was supposed to help us.
I didn't hear about that, the leader said.
Miller dug a finger under Co's armor and squeezed. Co shrieked and tried to writhe away from him.
Talk to your boss about it in your own time, Miller said. Come on, let's get this asshole to a medic.
Hold on, the first guard said, and Miller sighed.
Four of them.
If he dropped Co and jumped for cover, but there wasn't much cover. And who the hell knew what Holden would do?
Where are the shooters? The guard asked.
Miller kept himself from smiling.
There's a hole about a quarter click anti-spinward,
Miller said. The other one's body's still there. You can't miss it. Miller turned down the ramp. Behind him, the guards were talking among themselves, debating what to do, who to call, who to send.
You're completely insane,
Holden said over Coe's semi-conscious weeping. Maybe he was right. When, Miller wondered, does someone stop being human? There had to be a moment, some decision that you made, and before it, you were one person, and after it, someone else. Walking down through the levels of Eros, Coe's bleeding body slung between him and Holden, Miller reflected. He was probably dying of radiation damage. He was lying his way past half a dozen men who were only letting him by because they were used to people being scared of them, and he wasn't. He had killed 3 people in the last 2 hours. 4, if he counted Coe. Probably safer to say 4, then. The analytical part of his mind, the small, still voice he had cultivated for years, watched him move and replayed all his decisions. Everything he'd done had made perfect sense at the time. Shooting Coe, shooting the other 3, leaving the safety of the crew's hideout to investigate the evacuation. Emotionally, it had all been obvious at the time. It was only when he considered it from outside that it seemed dangerous. If he'd seen it in someone else, Mus, Havelock, Simitimba, he wouldn't have taken more than a minute to realize they'd gone off the rails. Since it was him, he had taken longer to notice. But Holden was right. Somewhere along the line, he'd lost himself. He wanted to think it had been finding Julie, seeing what had happened to her body, knowing he hadn't been able to save her, but that was only because it seemed like the sentimental moment. The truth was, his decisions before then, leaving Ceres to go on a wild hunt for Julie, drinking himself out of a career, remaining a cop for even a day after that first kiss.